for us as we pray together. So in that case, let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much just for the ability again to come here this morning. We thank you for the love that you had for us. And as we dive into what it means to trust you today, Father God, that we just remember your love. That we remember you sent your Son to this earth for everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the scripture for today is coming out of Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. I want to make sure my notes are right here. Verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary home to be as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name of Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. All right, y'all. Couple more days. That's right. That's right. I know I'm going to be the one waking my family up at 6 a.m. I know a lot of people will judge me for that, and I have no problem with that. Of course, it's obviously for the birth of Jesus that I'm waking up for, but the presents, too, are just like an added bonus there. But what I really want to talk about today are two things: love and trust. The last two Advent candles, the one for Christmas Eve and the one for today, love and trust. Because those two things go really hand in hand. And what we're going to do is dive into the scripture here in chapter 1. And we're going to see there's a lot of trust that took place here. The ultimate example of love and trust. So, we start out, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came to be. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph was a righteous man, and he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, we're going to stop right there, because this is very interesting, this whole aspect right here. So according to Old Testament law, whenever a woman was found like this, they were supposed to be not necessarily disgraced, but brought before the public for shame. And this is very interesting that the text points out Joseph was a righteous man, because the definition of righteous for the Jewish custom is following the law, following the culture, what that time period was. But we see then he does not want to expose her to public disgrace. He wants to just do it quietly, no shame, does not want to be any ill will towards her, and go about his day. And this is very interesting because there's two different things being said in that sentence. Being righteous would mean he would have to go before the public and say, "Look what she did." But he doesn't want to do that. You see, I think we talk about how Jesus is coming down, the Holy Spirit, that's where it started all. But I think this is where God is starting to plant the seeds for Jesus. You're probably asking, what does that mean? Well, what I'm saying here is God had already sent the seed down to Joseph because he knew this was going to be a wild card. A wild card, a crazy plan, the virgin birth to fulfill this prophecy. God placed trust in Joseph, first by choosing him to be Jesus' earthly father, and trusting that he would not divorce her. Now, this is not going to be a whole sermon about Joseph not divorcing Mary. That's not what we're talking about here. What I'm wanting to show is that we start to see this foundation of trust being implemented. So, but after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, Joseph is already going through a lot of inner conflict here, because he doesn't know what to do. I mean, if I were in Joseph's shoes, I wouldn't know what to do. He's trying to figure out, do I stay or do I go? So then the angel comes to him and says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." That's so powerful right there. Because right here, this is an ultimate sign of trust. Bless you. I'll wait to see if there's one more. There's always two. No? Okay. The beauty of being in a small church, you can say bless you in the middle of the service. But the reason we're talking about trust right here is because this is the fulfillment of the prophecy. This is the fulfillment of the word of God. This is the start of God's ultimate love story to us. How he wanted to be with us after the fall, after the original sin, he still wanted us. And he does it in the most unlikely of ways. The virgin birth, even though at this time period this would have been a major, major problem, I think he does this to make a statement. God uses the most unlikely of circumstances to bring his love. Amen? For example, in my life, I've seen this with my grandparents on my dad's side. I don't necessarily have a relationship with them because their poor health has, I'm trying to think of the best way to say this, it has changed their mindset. Let's go with that. Where they just sit and given up. So yesterday, getting there, we were all just dreading it. Then we get the news that my grandmother's very sick. Probably is going to go in the hospital. And she's in this stage where it's going to be in and out of the hospital until hospice care. And I did not have any trust in God for his plan in this. But you see, the point of trust is having all the things that we've talked about in this Advent season. Peace, hope, and joy. It's all a segue, if that makes sense. One thing leads to another. The reason being is because in those moments, I experienced the love of extended family. Like the love that we all experience here, I then experienced that with my family. I had to trust in God for his plan just to make it through the day. Have there been times in your life, you don't have to say this out loud, where it's just simply saying, God, I have to trust you just to make it out of bed this morning? For me, that's a daily struggle. For me, I've had the struggle about, I'd say about high school. of anxiety into major bouts of depression. And that's a daily struggle, whereas it has been times of saying, God, I just have to trust you to get out of bed this morning. And I feel like we all experience times like that in our lives. We all experience seasons like that. Well, Joseph here was definitely experiencing something like that. His would-be wife was having a child. And it wasn't his. He didn't know about the journey that was about to take place. And with this inner conflict, which had the dream, which had the angel come to him, what does Joseph do? He trusts in God. He trusts in the plan that God has set forth. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, Matthew, he's writing his gospel specifically to the Jewish people to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. That's why it says this took place, because it had to fulfill the prophecy. But it's also being written as another form of trust, showing we can trust in the word because it was fulfilled right before our eyes. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. To me, this all just reminds me of the Garden of Eden. You see how we fell away from God, how God would walk every day with Adam and Eve, talking with them, having a relationship with them. But after they ate the apple, that didn't happen. But what I love is just this word, Emmanuel. God with us. To me, that's trust. God with us. Trusting that God is always with us. Amen. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name of Jesus. Now, as we know, the story just keeps getting crazier from here. Joseph didn't know about the journey back to Bethlehem. He didn't know at this point about that journey that would have to take place, this perilous journey. There's this movie called The Nativity. It's literally just the birth of Jesus Christ. They do like cartoon versions of it. And then The Star, that's going to be another version of it. Very excited to see that. You should stay after, see that today. But the point is, Joseph did not know. Yet, he trusted in God, in his plan, and his prophecy, to keep going. Now again, let's not focus on the fact at the beginning where Joseph was saying, oh, this is not my kid, all of that stuff, all of what society would see. We're not focusing on that. We are focusing on the trust that Joseph had in God's plan. So then, where do we see ourselves as Joseph? Because I believe the best way to see God's plan and God's will and what he's saying in the Bible is to place ourselves in these characters. Because I'm one of those visual learners, I like to place myself inside the story. Like Lord of the Rings, I picture myself as Aragorn. Harry Potter, obviously. Gryffindor all the way. That's my house, if anybody else knows their house. But if we place ourselves in Joseph's shoes, and we start to take that journey with him, not just after accepting, I'm going to follow this plan, but going in through the journey to Bethlehem, you see it's very perilous, almost drowning on the river. They're starving. And then as we get tomorrow, or not tomorrow, excuse me. See, I'm getting too excited about Christmas. But as we get to Christmas Eve, and we start to look at there was no room in the inn. And what I like to imagine in the movie, The Nativity, Mary just happens to start going into labor right at this time. So he's freaking out, you know. I'm sure his parents, you guys were probably freaking out. I know my dad was freaking out when my mom went into labor. It was really funny, apparently. But he still kept going. Him and Mary kept looking for room in the inn. In her most dire moment, Mary was still trusting in God. Do we do that? I'll be the first to say that I'm guilty of not doing that a lot. This whole situation with my grandmother, I'm guilty of that a lot. One of my biggest failures recently, when I talked about missing God's plan, missing the act of love with the homeless person on the side of the road. But then we go into love. The true meaning of Christmas, love. And God's love for us. Because notice, God provided in this entire story with Joseph having this inner conflict. Well, I mean, first, he obviously provided with Jesus, giving Jesus to Mary, you know, the basic step. But then God noticed the inner turmoil that Joseph was facing. And God doesn't do things by accident. He always has a purpose. So notice, it wasn't just an angel coming out of nowhere. Oh, hey, man, what's up? No, he comes in, fire blazing, this light saying, do not be afraid. And notice, every time an angel comes with a message from the Lord, they say, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name of Jesus. God provided for Joseph in that very moment by sending him the dream. By sending him the proof, because if he was a righteous man, he would have known the prophecy was written to fulfill the words, the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. So notice, God would have known that Joseph knew about this prophecy. He took into account the culture that he was in, of what would happen to Mary. And he provided. We fast forward through the journey to Bethlehem. He provided. He got them there. No room at the inn. They found a stable. God provided when they needed it most. Notice, it all started with their trust in his plan. Let's think about that. Let that sit in. When they trusted in God, God provided. And let's talk about the fact it was probably not the way they thought he would provide. I'm sure that Mary did not think that her son would be born in a stable. Anybody who's a mom out there, I cannot imagine what you would be thinking if your child had to be born in a stable. All the animals, everything around it. Ugh, it's gross. But the reason I'm pointing this out is because the two main points as we start to really go into Christmas this week Joseph trusted. He had every reason not to. And then the angel of the Lord came, and he trusted. When they trusted, God provided. Let's remember that this week. I know there's a lot of illness, a lot of heartache, a lot of pain. But simply, we just need to trust in God for his plan. Because his ultimate plan was fulfilled, sending his son for us. He sent his son to show love. We'll talk about love a little bit on Christmas Eve. But really, we just have to trust in him. So then, ask again, what's holding us back? I know I've asked this before, but I think it's key to continually evaluate ourselves and see where we are at in our spiritual journey. What exactly is holding us back? I know for me, something I've had to let go of is my anger. My anger towards my grandparents for shutting us out. And I'm not bragging on myself. Let me be clear, because I want you all to understand the joy that we can experience. And I'm sure you've experienced it too. I know a lot of you have a lot more wisdom than I do. If I had not let go of that anger, I would not have been able to enjoy my time with my family, because we only see them twice a year, the extended family in Kingsport. I would have missed out in God's love. So then what's holding us back? Because we remember God fulfilled the ultimate promise by sending his son Jesus for us. We just need to trust in that promise that Jesus was sent for us. Is he good back there? You good? Okay. Just remember, as we go into Christmas, the easiest and hardest thing to do is trust in God. What's holding you back? I have to ask myself, what's holding myself back every day? So as I end this, I just want to say a quick prayer. Then we can go into the last hymn. If you would, please bow your heads with me. Father God, right now, I just pray love, hope, peace, and joy over this congregation. I pray that you anoint us with all of these things as we go into Christmas with our families, whether we're spending it at home, away. Father, I pray that we remember one thing, that we are anointed by you through Jesus Christ, that you love us so that we can show that love on Christmas, and that we remember to trust in you ultimately. That we have the faith, that we remember the perseverance in the fact that Jesus was sent for us, so that we can truly experience the hope, joy, peace, love, and trust this Christmas season. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.